When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
About something.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Would I know anything?
Not my thing. It never was.
Would I don't think you would know anything.
No? Either. Okay.
What's that? Revival is his most popular song?
I think Something in the Orange.
Oh, that was his first one. Yeah,
see if you know this one, Jerry. Yeah, pop me up there, Eddie.
Doesn't ring a bell by name.
Let's see.
No. No. Never heard it.
Mrs. Pussy Feathers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, give me Luke Combs kicking a beer can into the crowd and burping and long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
Just keep singing about alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, Morgan Wallen, whiskey glasses. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Oh, need a drink. That's what I want.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming alive from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. So I like to play this game when we get to November because I always bring this up every single November. It's the classic John Facenda where he goes, the hopes that were high in the heat of September wilt and die. In the chill of November.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the best. So we have many, many teams that have wilted and died.
Yes.
So how many teams can win the Super Bowl? How many teams?
That's a very good question.
Can actually win the Super Bowl in 2024? And I feel like that number is lower than ever. I got to be honest with you.
I will tell you that I think there's only three. I'm going to say four out of the AFC.
Okay.
That I feel like are capable of winning a Super Bowl. And out of the NFC, the NFC is interesting. I would say one. But North, I don't know how to quantify the NFC North. One, two. I'm going to say four.
Okay. All right. So let me
eight
see.
Eight total.
So you got eight total, four and four, four in each conference.
Yep.
All right, let's see if we agree.
Okay.
So I'll say the Buffalo Bills are one.
Correct.
I'll say the Baltimore Ravens are two.
Correct.
I will say the Cincinnati Bengals are three.
Yes. Yes, I put them in there too.
And the Kansas City Chiefs are four.
Exactly.
In the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles, one.
Yep.
The Detroit Lions, two.
Yep.
The San Francisco 49ers, three.
Yes.
I don't have a fourth. I got to be honest with you.
So I'm kind of wavering on the fourth in my head. I was going to say Green Bay.
Yeah.
Because they got so close last year.
Right.
Part of me wants to say Minnesota because they've played tough. I just don't know. I can't do it.
So I'm putting
Green Bay as my fourth.
Okay. See, I will not take either one of those teams, the Vikings or the Packers. I don't think either one of them can win the Super Bowl. I mean, if I have a tough time seeing Dan Campbell and Jared Goff in the Super Bowl, I can't sit here and say that I could see Sam Darnold and Kevin
Understood. Understood.
So I'm just trying to be fair there. So to me, it's Philadelphia, Detroit, and San Francisco. So
but
I
you
got
did you did pick the Bengals like I did, who really aren't in the playoff mix right now, and you also, like I did, bypass the Commanders.
Yeah, I did. I just think that would be a really, really tall order for a rookie quarterback. As much as I love him, and he's my fantasy horse, and I drafted him, and him and Terry McLaurin, I love him. I watch every Commanders game a little bit. But that's just a tall order, and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, I can't see it. Now,
maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe. But we also left the Steelers off of there, who are leading that division.
I don't know. And I feel bad. And I felt like I owed the Steeler fans an apology because I picked Washington to beat them on Sunday. And
yeah.
Washington was winning the game, but ultimately lost it. I just don't think. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're on the level of teams like the Bills and the Chiefs. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually think if the team that has the best chance of going into Kansas City and winning is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep, I hear you.
Because they've done it before.
Yeah.
Then I put the Bills.
I was going to say Buffalo.
Second on that, and then the Ravens third on that. But it's probably going to be Kansas City again. I mean, I just.
Interesting, though, how, and I know they're banged up, so it makes sense, but completely bypassed Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely dismissed the entire NFC South. Well, and rightly so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I cannot see the I guess the Atlanta Falcons would be the only team that you would say would have a chance. But, yeah, so out of those, so you've got eight, I've got seven. I would be shocked if there was any other team out of that or if there wasn't a combination of your eight teams or my seven teams in the Super Bowl. So
you know if the Jets get on a run, though.
Tiebreakers?
Just kidding.
Let's go over the tiebreakers.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
It is funny. It's like you go through this whole season, though, and here we are on November 12th, and we have basically just said to the other, what we pick? I had eight, you had seven. So 24 teams to me are dead.
Yeah.
And you've got 25 teams that you think have no chance. And I don't disagree with you. Aside from I give Green Bay a little bit more of a puncher's chance because of the run they made last year. But you know what? If you took them off the list, I wouldn't argue with you all that much.
Yeah. Which, so it makes you think. Now, I don't like the long nature of the baseball regular season, but having the Mets and the Yankees in this postseason was awesome. It was actually, I mean, it was some of the most fun I've had watching sports recently with that Mets run. But when you go into the baseball postseason, like you could make a case every team in the National League you could see in the World Series.
I would agree with that.
But then again, in the American League, once Houston was out, it was really only the Yankees.
Yeah, I felt like, and I was completely wrong about it, I thought Baltimore might figure something out in the postseason. I know they were brutal, the back end, and I know that, and they gave the Yankees every opportunity to win that division, and they did. I thought Baltimore would give you something. They didn't. I shouldn't even say that. That's not even sure. I thought Baltimore and Houston would give the Yankees maybe some trouble if they ran into one of them, but they didn't.
Yeah, American League was down. But generally in baseball, you feel like any team that makes it in could make a run.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Whereas in football, it rarely happens. I mean, the Giants did it, obviously. And that's why Giant fans are always holding on to hope, I think, because, up against it in 2007 and same in 2011. But yeah, there's really, I mean, the NFL talked about parity and keeping.
Oh, they got it.
I don't even think they got it.
See, I do because I think like we just took out 24 teams because there's so much crap in the middle. That to me is parity. I know you got some good teams here, but every week, I know we have fun with it, with the cool games thing. There are so many dreadful games because all these teams are the same.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have the two matchups. Like, you have to have two teams in your top eight playing each other for it to be a cool game, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yes, I would say so. And there's so many teams here that are just, like, nothing. And we're still going to watch, and the ratings are still going to be great, and the stadiums are still going to be packed. But it doesn't take away the fact that I sit down some Sundays, I'm like, this product isn't good.
Do you think there's a great team in the NFL right now? Like, if you think about the LA Dodgers, they were a great team and a deserving champion. The Boston Celtics, a great team and a deserving champion. Like, even the Kansas City Chiefs, at undefeated 9-0, coming off back-to-back Super Bowls, I don't even think they're a great team.
I think the Lions are.
I think the Lions are
are very complete. And you can now, people will say, well, but Jared Goff. I know he didn't play great the other night, but the guy's throwing 80, he's completing 80% of his passes. He's perfect for that team. Defensive, you know, they had a game that I worked for Compass Media Networks. I guess it was 3 weeks ago. They played the Titans, who are not good, and I get that. But the Lions literally did nothing offensively, nothing. Yeah. And they put up like 50 points because they're suffocating defensively. They're good special teams-wise, and their offense is very efficient. Are they a great team like the 85 Bears? I'm not saying that, but if you're giving me this year's NFL, I would say if they're not one, they're two.
So, if you're power ranking the NFL right now, you're putting the Lions one.
I am putting the Lions one. Yes, I am. Hmm. Yeah, and I don't even hesitate.
Yeah, the Chiefs have had a lot of close calls.
Yes, they have. But they also know how to win. Yeah. And this is the crazy thing about the Chiefs that we've talked about week in, starting like week four. The Chiefs haven't played a great game yet, and they're 9-0.
Yeah, which is crazy. And then, well, the Lions had a few close calls as well this past week, obviously. And then also against the Vikings, they had a close call there. That was a very, very close game. But, I mean, but the Chiefs, it feels like every week your heart's in your throat if you're a fan of that team.
Very much so. I thought the win in Green Bay sold me on the Lions, if I wasn't sold already.
Yeah.
You know, crappy weather, cold, and you beat the tar out of them. And that game was not as close as the score showed.
There is no way the Chiefs are going undefeated, right? They got to drop one of these games. They just have to.
I don't put anything past Patrick Mahomes. He, to me, is like one of the only players that gets what he deserves and probably should get more.
I mean, they should have lost this past week. I mean, that field goal, as we were joking around, it looked like a ref came up and blocked it, you know, to help the NFL out, to keep the undefeated story going.
Yeah. But teams like that get the blocked field goal. Teams like the Jets and Giants miss the field goal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so they got the Bills this week, which is the biggest game on the board by far. On 425, which is great that it's not a Sunday night game.
It's pretty good.
That is awesome.
Pretty good.
I mean, you're talking about Sunday, November 17th, Chiefs and Bills. Yeah. Was it 8-2 against 9-0?
Even Thursday night, which I'm not, part of me likes the Thursday night game because it kicks off the week. It's got like a feel to it, but it's also the saturation of the game with the Thursday night and the Sunday and the Sunday night and Sunday morning and Monday. It's like, by God, it's not as special as it used to be. But when you get a good matchup like I think we have this week, I look forward to it.
We saw it last week. It was a great game.
Yeah. Well, I'm more of an NFC East guy, so I'm more into this than I was last week. But yes, last week was a great game for sure with the Ravens and the Bengals.
Charlie in Summit. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Thanks for taking the call. You know, I think we have three hockey teams, right? We got plenty of baseball. I think it's time to, we really consider one football team because the two just are not holding their own. I mean, come on.
Yeah, combining both franchises. You know, they did that.
What would the name be, though? Like, we got to come up with another name. I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen, but you got to
think.
What would the name be?
You know, it reminds me. So I read as much like Pittsburgh football history as I could when I got the job out there, and I believe it was in World War II they combined the Steelers and the Eagles to make the Steagles.
Yes.
For a while. In Pennsylvania. So if the Jets and the Giants would be the
Gets. The Jints.
The Jints or the Gets.
Yeah. Never happening. So
no, right. So you could don't call up with your suggestions on that because Al will just rip his own head off his neck and roll it down the hallway.
I was going to say his head's already starting to swell.
I mean, there wouldn't be a lot of, I got to say, as bad as the Jets have been, like talent-wise, I don't think I'd be taking a lot of the Giants. Like Andrew Thomas, if he were healthy, obviously would go over. Like Dexter Lawrence.
Big Brian Burns.
Brian Burns.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those would be the guys, really. Malik Nabers, I guess, but they got a ton of wide receivers on the Jets. Ugh, God. I didn't want to think about that.
These teams lack a little bit. Just a little bit.
I mean, that team, you combine that team, what is it, an 8-9 team?
I came up with this comparison. And it's mostly because of Aaron Rodgers and then bringing in Devontae Adams and trying with Hassan Reddick. Would you say the Jets this year compare to those old Redskin teams where Dan Schneider was trying to just buy players and make it something that it wasn't.
Right. You brought that up the other day. It's a perfect comparison. I mean, the Deion Sanders situation and bringing him in. I have to go back and look at that roster.
Remember the Albert Haynesworth contract that blew up in their face?
God. Jesus Christ. And he stomped on that dude's head.
I mean, yeah. Remember that? I don't remember that.
I think it was Andre Garrod was the center.
The former Cowboy?
I think he was on the Cowboys when that happened.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Go look that up. So Andre Garrod's helmet falls off during a play, and Albert Haynesworth steps on his head.
Wow, how did I remember that? Interesting.
That
I'll check that during
one.
The break. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer not here today. He'll be back tomorrow. Jerry in for Boomer. That means that CeeLo slides in for today, and he's got another update for us. What's up, Chris?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I can't play any more audio from these football coaches. It's just too depressing. And once again, they've broken us, especially some of the voices you hear after this program here on The Fan.
I really hate the Jets, man.
I hate them too. I hate
watching them.
I hate both these teams. I can't do it.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Losers. We root for losers in this town.
We do.
Loud noises.
That's pretty much how it went.
What was that?
That's me putting Anchorman in.
Oh, pizza. I was going to say, who is that chiming in?
Well, that's what
Hoffman?
It sounds like. They're just screaming.
Oh,
Tandem.
My God.
They're
by the way, I was very disappointed in Hoffman yesterday.
Why?
Because I love the guy. Great commitment to the job. Good work ethic. Came back from Germany. Wasn't going home. He was working. I went in there at 10 o'clock. I'm like, are you still wearing the same clothes you were wearing in the press box in Germany yesterday? He goes, I am.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you didn't bring a change of clothes?
That's pretty impressive, actually.
No, it's not.
How is that impressive? It's disgusting.
Is it?
No, great commitment. Work ethic amazing. I love the guy.
Yeah.
You got to bring a different shirt,
no? Yeah, be an adult. And he's an older guy, too. He's not in his 20s. Be an adult. Have a change of clothes. He's also a big guy, too. He's going to stink. Like, I'm sorry. There's just going to be some sort of crevasse in that man that's going to be just totally off-putting.
Like, Pete, what are you doing? Like, he got up in Munich.
Yeah.
Took a shower in a Munich hotel.
Yeah.
Got dressed for the day and then spent 8 hours at a stadium working.
Right.
Left the stadium, got on a bus. The bus took him to a plane, had a 7 or 8 hour plane ride home, drove in here, middle of the night, found some disgusting crusted couch to sleep on.
Yeah.
Woke up, put a hat on and said, I'm here.
Hard
Let's store. Go to work.
Oh, my God.
And he still smelled better than Dove's lunch.
Hard stool.
Maybe. That did come up the other day, too.
Yeah.
About some of those nasty-smelling lunches.
Well, he probably figured his smell would just blend in with whatever Dove's eating in there yesterday.
Man.
Hard stool.
Oh, I heard you. But, yeah, so I was very disappointed in him.
Did you guys ask him? Did you get to the? You were wondering what the flight back was like, if it was dead silent or not. Did you ever circle back with him once he woke up? And
yeah,
asked him?
You know what the flight's like. It's quiet as can be.
Not necessarily the way these guys are these days.
I disagree with that. Okay. I think it's all quiet.
Right. Okay,
I do.
Fair enough. All right, I was gonna get to this later, but it's...
Didn't Bruce Pearl turn his plane around the other day? Did you see this?
Is this a true story? Got into a fight, apparently.
Oh, is that what it was?
I saw
there was frolicking. So you're saying it was fighting. Maybe I was blurry.
Unless
there
were two different stories about a plane getting turned around.
No, I'm sure it would be the
one
same
was
one.
Was Houston, the basketball team.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what it was.
This was a
separate thing. Two different college basketball teams turned flights around week.
I'm confusing things.
No, I think you're right. There was... Marco put a clip in.
Auburn police released statement regarding Auburn basketball in-flight altercation.
Okay.
Yeah.
But did they turn their flight around? Or did just something happened on the plane? You might be combining two.
Hell if I know what I'm doing these days.
Conflation spot here. Is that what's going on?
I have no idea. I mean, well, even the Andre Girard, Albert Hainsworth thing, I didn't remember. And then I would look it up, and he was on the Titans. I'm like, all confused by everything.
That I do remember.
Okay.
Quite a bit. Yeah, that was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, stomped on his head with no helmet.
Right.
Crazy.
All right, well, while you effort that, because you brought up Hoff and the stink, I was going to get to this. Syracuse head coach Fran Brown, I guess yesterday, revealed an interesting quirk, or I guess superstition, when his team comes up short on game day.
Honestly, I got like a ritual. Like when we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's like, I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it.
All right. He's committed like Hoffman.
Right. So thank God Brian Daboll doesn't think the same way. You walk around and flies around him.
Often. Yeah. So no shower, no soap, as he reveals. His wife, though, is not about it, as you might expect.
There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why you're brushing them?
Covers the breath.
Not for dental hygiene, just no. So y'all don't tell me my breath stink.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He does apparently take this very seriously.
You got to earn the right to do certain things. So, you know, winners get washed. You know what I'm saying? I'm a loser. I just kind of waited a little bit.
Yeah, that okay. is...
I mean, he doesn't even sound like he's joking around.
No, he's dead so. Serious. Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah, pretty intense. So it's kind of interesting. All right, so we heard at the beginning there from BT and Sal, and in the afternoon, Evan wasn't much happier, as you'd imagine, about the Jets, but then they pop an Ingo on his regular Monday spot, and he is so broken by this season. He is longing for the return of Rex Ryan, which I know he has spoken about.
He has.
Or the possibility of a whole different sort of sideshow.
I think he'd come in and kick some tail. I'll give you another guy I like for head coach. You're going to laugh when I say this. Okay?
Go ahead.
Coach Prime.
I'm
not kidding.
And I know his name's been talked about a little bit.
He's not coming to the Jets.
I know, but it surprises me that Joe is going to want to go to those lengths. Because
I think Joe is desperate.
Oh, well, that's what I mean.
Joe could get George Halas's body back, I think. Where's Weeb Eubank? I mean, he's desperate. I understand it.
I'll throw out another name. You're going to laugh at this one now, too. Elon Musk. I mean, bro, if this guy can shoot a rocket up in the air and have it land in the same place, bro, that it took off, you tell me he can't fix that defense? You tell me he can't fix the defense? Can't be that hard, bro. Cannot be that hard.
Oh, my God.
He's got those freaking Cybertrucks everywhere. You telling me this guy doesn't know how to do a better offense than Nathaniel Hackett and Todd freaking Downing? Come on.
That's funny. It's
in the
good.
Same breath about Deion, he's like, he shows Sauce how to play corner, and then Evan was about to say, well, but Deion didn't tackle, and then Joe did catch himself. So that's how desperate he is.
That is
like,
true.
Let's bring Deion in here, who didn't tackle either.
And all right, is it more attractive? Now, I think that I shouldn't say this. I do think the Jets will win some games down the stretch. Maybe they don't. I have no idea. What if it was a package deal? Because I do think...
It's got to be... And him coming to the NFL is going to have
No, I disagree with that.
Deal. No?
No, I don't think that. I think the Cowboy job would be very attractive to him. And the Cowboys are not going to be, I don't think they'll be bad enough to pick.
Well, plus, they just
paid Dak. So that's not happening. Yeah. But you could see him somewhere else.
You want to talk about lining yourself up for another disaster?
Oh,
Deion and Shedeur Sanders here in New York with the Jets.
Yeah, come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Let's go.
All right, just think about this for a second. Let's say it's the beginning of the football season. And someone from the future comes to Joe Beningo and plays two things that he says weeks later. And the first one is, give me Coach Prime, bro. You're going to laugh, but give me Coach Prime. And then he said, you know what? We're going to play you one more.
I'm sure that Iran is not happy with Hezbollah.
Or whatever it was, I guess it was Lebanon.
Something like
imagine
that.
Lebanon.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure that Lebanon is not happy with Hezbollah. These are two things he said during the Jets season.
That was on the Jake Asman podcast.
Think about that.
Yep, I know. I know.
Like, unbelievable.
If someone said, Joe, in what context do you think you're talking about in the Jets season? Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Bro, I have no freaking idea. What are we, 7-3 by now? I would think. I would think. I would hope.
What a disaster.
The Jet season right there.
Oh, my God. All right. Monday Night Football saw the Dolphins beat the Rams at SoFi Stadium 23-15. Tyreek Hill, who was a game-time decision with a wrist injury, caught a touchdown pass in this one and then spoke with NFL Network's Taylor Brichotti afterwards.
Here I am scoring on Monday night, man. So I'm very grateful, very thankful for this opportunity, man. And, you know, God is the greatest, dog.
God is the greatest,
dog.
We get God and dog.
They all
in the
do
same
that, though. They also do, and they do man.
Oh, he did man a million times. He's speaking to a woman.
I know that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's
man
just,
and dog.
Yes. Dog with God, though. I'm not sure I've heard that one. at least in that context. Anyway,
stick around, you'll hear a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. Bishotti then mentions the wrist injury and his questionable status, so she asks him how he injured it. Keep in mind, this was after the pregame report from Lisa Salters, where she says, hey, he's got a ligament tear in there. It was an injury he had, and then it was made worse by the arrest, which was before the season opener, and that there was additional damage that was done. That was a report. She's on the broadcast last night for ESPN. So now Taylor Bishotti asks him essentially the same question after the game, and here's how Hill decided to handle that one.
You know what, man? Against the Commanders week one, and then I kind of, you know, re-aggravated it, you know, trying to block my tail off, you know, during the course of the year, man. But it happens. You know, it's football, you know. No excuses.
So two completely different answers. I don't know which is true and which is not. Just kind of odd.
You know what I think? These guys talk too much.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not pulling a boomer here with the baseball manners. I don't mean that. The access is way too much. And now with these podcasts and social media, like I watched a lot of Micah Parsons yesterday. He's just talking. I don't even know if he knows what he's saying sometimes. Because some of it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, those clips you put in.
Crazy.
He's just talking.
And he's a nice guy. But I think he just talks too much.
Taylor Bishotti, Steve Bishotti's daughter, the owner of the Ravens?
I don't know. Is that, I feel like we looked that up
once before. I don't know that there is a relationship.
I thought that, but I quickly looked and didn't see anything.
It's not a normal name. It's not like Smith. I mean,
I know.
But I feel
niece.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, Steve Bishotti's niece.
So she was there, NFL Network postgame on the field last night. Also from last night, Chris Berman's fastest 3 minutes highlight segment during halftime, kind of comparing and contrasting the optics of part of the NFL's salute to service on this particular weekend.
Veterans Day at Soldier Field, fittingly playing the Patriots. Drake May to Jalen Polk. New England wins 19-3. Veterans Day weekend in Germany. Really?
He didn't care for that.
I get it.
Interesting reference.
Yeah, I get that.
That was in one breath, and then when he got to the Steelers Commanders highlight.
Remember the moon balls Russell Wilson threw as a Seahawk? It's back in Pittsburgh to Mike Williams. Not on the red line, he's on the goal line.
There you go.
It sounds like you slowed down. It does not sound like him.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds just like him.
No, it sounds like there's marbles in his mouth.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound as clear as he usually does.
Slow down. I thought you meant like the audio was doctored or something.
No, he sounds like, I don't know, like it's slower and lower pitch voice and just doesn't sound like him.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah. No, I know. I had not heard him. Like, I guess I haven't been paying attention.
Fair enough. Well, he was echoing, I guess, I don't know if he saw it or someone made him aware of it, the Williams Instagram post with the hashtag redline, little shot at a little subtle jab there at Aaron Rodgers, now that he's been released from the prison that is the Jets and he's playing for the first place Steelers. Speaking of the Steelers, did you play the Mike Tomlin clip when he was asked to compare Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
And you did. Okay, so we can skip that. We did the Micah Parsons audio last hour, responding to critics on his podcast after he took some heat for what he said about Mike McCarthy post-game Sunday. As for McCarthy himself, took a much more buttoned-up approach when he was asked about it on Monday.
When it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, you know, handled those things as men should handle it.
I'm guessing that was before
conversation.
Parsons then went and did the podcast.
Yes, because Parsons said he went into his office and didn't want to text him or call him, wanted to talk to him. So they did meet face-to-face.
Really don't know the name of your defensive coordinator, dummy?
Zimmerman. That's funny.
And you did all the Jerry Jones audio about the sun and the curtains.
Yeah.
And then they show yesterday at McCarthy's press conference there in the facility in Frisco, and he's got a shade up in front of him to block the sun from glaring on his face.
That's
at the
amazing
podium.
I mean,
it's almost like they did that on purpose after everything that went on.
I've always been one that has said, in terms of you know, players and coaches on their last year of a contract, you know, let them finish it. This is the problem, though. When you're not good, it's just every week the question is, are you going to keep him? Are you going to stick with him? Because clearly he's not coming back. The team stink. I mean, these are the issues you have. Now, I don't know that they wouldn't be fired anyway with the way things are going if he had a contract for next year, but this has been fast and furious with these questions.
And with Dak out probably the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. The Cooper Rush and Trey Lance threw for a combined 65 yards Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, God, if Trey Lance beats the Giants on Thanksgiving. That's digging a new low.
We've had those days. Clint Longley won on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Clint
Longley.
Jesus.
That was against Washington, I
what
think?
A name.
I don't remember.
Yeah, 1973 or 4.
Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We alluded to it earlier talking about Arthur Blank. Now, this is a lawsuit. This is some, you know, two flight attendants are filing this lawsuit. So he has not had his side of the story out there, but these are people that are suing Arthur Blank because they feel like they were wronged because he hired a woman as a flight attendant on his private jet that he was dating. And because she was so bad at her job, they had to cover up her deficiencies and work more than 40 hours per week without overtime pay.
Hmm. That's what they're claiming.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. Right. So that's what the suit is. And the suit alleged that they were regularly required to work far more than 40 hours per week due to their heavy workload, because they were regularly required to cover up this woman's deficiencies and handle the vast majority of the flights for the company. So I don't know if this is just two flight attendants getting together and saying, man, this is a billionaire. We can hold him over a barrel here and get paid. He'll probably give us a settlement or whatever. It could be that. It could be true as well. But, I mean, heavy workload? Like, to cover up her deficiencies?
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know the role of what they do on a day-to-day basis, but if maybe they had to take an extra flight here or there and they weren't compensated for it, I could see once or twice maybe you get upset, maybe they get pissed off. If it's true, I mean, these he said, she said's are tough.
But it sounds like they're on the same flight, doesn't it?
I guess.
It sounds like they're on the same flight. Like, if you have three flight attendants on a flight and a private jet.
Yeah, I don't know what the workload of a, I don't know.
Private jet.
I mean, anytime.
Flight attendant is?
Anytime we have been lucky enough to do that, it seems like they leave with us.
Yeah.
So I don't know. All I do know is it seems like when you mix relationships with your business.
Yeah.
A lot goes wrong.
100%.
A lot goes wrong.
Well, and also, I mean, if they felt like they were treated unfairly in any way, maybe didn't get tipped enough or whatever, and then they're saying, all right, so now he hires this woman because he's dating her, and now we're getting screwed out of stuff. I mean, I can understand them being pissed, but, I mean, the lawsuit stuff is always, you always have to be careful.
I agree.
Especially when it comes to billionaires. Yep. And people trying to get money out of them. But I will say, in a general sense, you know, hiring your half your age girlfriend to do something for your business in any way, shape, or form is probably a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a tough mix. It usually doesn't end well.
No.
In a lot of cases, it doesn't. But I don't.
It's like Bill Belichick hiring his 24-year-old girlfriend to be his personal assistant. No, not going to be smart.
Not smart. What do you think? Not to morph, it's a similar conversation, though, I guess, but when he gets another job, let's say he does. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming someone will hire him this offseason. Maybe they don't, but who knows? What do you think when he walks into that locker room, he's thought of as?
Well, I think
creepy old guy look at Bill.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think that, unfortunately, with the way that society has presented these situations to us over the years and the way that the thinking goes, you know, you see a lot of examples of old wealthy men and young women. So it's not the first time you've seen that. I think that they'd look at him and be like, hey, good for you. You got someone who's 50 years younger than you, whatever it is. And they're probably thinking, what's wrong with her?
All right. But
that's probably what they're thinking.
When I say the name Bill Belichick, in football terms, any specific words come to mind in terms of how he's thought of?
Champion. Legend.
Okay, champion. I was going to say mystique.
Yeah,
maybe like a little bit of that to him. The mm-hmm. hoodie and the scowl and the press conferences. Now we've got photographs of him on the beach with his girlfriend looking like a mermaid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've got pictures of him riding horses.
Mm.
We've got photographs of him. The Ring doorbell camera was funny. Okay, that's fine. We have that from, I don't know. That part of him seems to be tarnished not is not the right word, but seems to be minimized a little
bit. So I hear what you're saying. So like when he walks in, like the instant credibility isn't there as much because of this relationship.
Hey coach, you like the movie Splash?
Yeah,
yeah, like that. Yes, exactly.
All right.
There's the credibility of a football genius mastermind and this tough guy image take a little bit of a hit.
I will say no. I think that the reputation of how hard he would drill these guys into the ground during practice and how much Tom Brady would complain about him being tough on them and all of that stuff will play into the players' minds more so than his girlfriend. I think that that's the thing that will follow him into that room. Like, oh, God, like people used to be miserable up there in New England and couldn't wait to get away from him. And I know that they won, but like, I don't know. I kind of want to be happy.
I agree with that to a point. I think the issue I have with it is today's player. Like, even from 10 years ago, it's changed. The social media, the phones, it's different. I don't know. I think, like, a 23, 24-year-old might look at this creepy old guy. You're right. Might run him into the ground. It very well could be the case. But I just wonder what the image would be of him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I just think that generally big testosterone, masculine, macho men in these situations, like football players, I would tend to think they would be thinking more good for you as opposed to you weirdo creep.
Oh, yeah!
Fair.
And as I've said, I think he's going to end up in Dallas, so I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I hope he commands the respect as soon as he walks into the room. I agree.
So actually, you know, driving in with my mother-in-law today to get her to this hospital for this eye surgery, you guys on the warm-up show were talking about this or brought up Bill Belichick and the girlfriend.
Yeah, Alan Cielo.
And she goes, yeah, it's just absolutely disgusting. You know, what is he thinking? Disgusting, you know? So that's what she's thinking, right?
Yes.
As an older woman. I said, you know, what don't you think? And I'm like,
no.
I'm like, well, I mean, I think most 70-year-olds if presented with a younger woman who is into them are not going to say no. Like, I just think that's the like generally the case. But I said, I'm more curious about what the hell she's thinking.
I agree with that, too.
But that's just from a physical stance. I mean, maybe she's just different and doesn't care. I mean, it loves him so much and his soul and personality that his barrel chest and old balls don't factor in.
and people that do know. All I was thinking about was the mermaid picture. Now I'm thinking about that. Thank you very much. People that do know him swear by him.
Yeah.
As a really good guy.
Oh, yeah.
So you're probably right about that, I guess. I don't. Thank you for that image.
Oh, Joy in Paramus. What's going on, Joy?
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Joy.
I could not resist when you started talking about Bill Belichick. I had to do it. I couldn't resist. So I have to tell you that no matter, I'm a Jet fan. So first of all, New England, the whole Belichick thing, not my favorite. But yes, he is an amazing coach. But now all I could think of is this old fool on a beach with a fishing rod, and now that Gio just said old balls, I'm scarred for life.
Sorry, Joy. Have a great day. Sorry.
That is great. That's right. I forgot about the fishing rod and the outfit where he looked like the fish guy. That's the other part of this.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know. Yeah, I mean, it was a Halloween thing, right?
I know
he's
it
trying
was.
To have fun. Like, I don't know.
But in the past, the Halloween thing is a photo you take and you put your photo album at home. Now you blast it out to millions of people. And when you're Bill Belichick, tens of millions of people see it. And now there's different images. It's just a fact.
Sagging balls.
Those photos are not out there.
Just wait.
Wow.
This thing goes sour like Brianna Chicken Fry and Zach Bryan. We might have an old balls picture out there.
Imagine he's taking photos like Brett Favre did back in the day.
And she's on Instagram. I follow her on Instagram now. And she posts all these photos. And she keeps the comments open. And people are just...
Have you read them?
Yeah.
Am I right to think that they mock him for a lot of this stuff?
A lot of them are mocking
him. No, I know they're also probably not Patriot fans or Belichick fans. But still, that goes to the conversation of these younger people with the phones and the social media when he walks into a locker room full of 23-year-olds, what they think and the images of him. Because it's a long time ago with the Patriots now in terms of like the heyday.
That might be the most interesting part of this whole thing is the fact that she doesn't seem bothered by any of this. And she leaves the comments and people rip her apart and she's just posting about her life and not like that is I'd like to talk to her about that. How did you get like at such a young age get to that point with social media where you don't, well, maybe in her private life she's just totally focused on it. Like, I can't shut off the comments now because I'm going to look weak.
When you look at the comments, clearly there's a lot about Belichick. Does she get killed too in them?
Just about her date, why she's with an old man,
Oh, okay.
With father issues and things like that.
Oh, father issues. So she's got the hardened shell then, and she can fight it off.
Maybe.
And good for her. A lot of people can't. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.